Okay. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer, of course, test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. This morning, we continue what I think is just an extremely important study on the faithfulness of God as far as our daily life is concerned. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And the fact that we can pray to you is a tribute to your faithfulness, Father, that you are a faithful God to whom we can pray regardless of the circumstances in our life. And Father, we praise you for who and what you are. And we pray your Spirit will open our eyes from the Word of God to just how important your faithfulness is to us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, question. Is unfaithfulness in us a sin? We talk about the faithfulness of God. Is the unfaithfulness that comes from us a sin? Well, think about it before you answer. Let's talk about infidelity in marriage. Unfaithfulness in marriage. That certainly is a sin. Lying in business. That's a sin. Preaching a false gospel that emphasizes works to be saved and therefore causes multitudes really to miss out on eternal life because of the sinfulness of preachers who would proclaim and boast of their moral perfection. What about unfaithfulness in immorality? It's a sin. So, as we look at the faithfulness of God, I want to remind you, last week we began by looking that, are you faithful to who and what you are? I'm talking about the who and what you are in Christ. Are you faithful? We make a decision to be faithful or not, to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit or not. God doesn't do that. God is faithful. And let's just quickly review the headlines of our points up to where we had to leave off last Sunday morning. Lila, how was the traffic this morning? Bad. Oh, my goodness. They're all going to the Super Bowl. Okay, part one, faithfulness means being trustworthy, reliable, absolute truth. Therefore, it refers to the faithfulness of God. Point two, faithfulness in regard to what? To what is God faithful? First, God is faithful to his essence. God does not choose to be faithful in his essence. He is faithful by his very nature. Roman numeral 3, there is only one person who is totally faithful to you, and that is God. And here we looked at Psalm 118, verse 8. Roman numeral 4, this is one of the first essence of God proclaimed in the Bible. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know. You got to know it, and then believe it, and then act upon it. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Roman numeral 5, every day, all day, most of us walk in peace in regard to our eternal salvation. Why do we do that? The faithfulness of God. We read the Gospel of John 10:28-29, 2 Timothy 2:13, 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. 6, in regards to salvation to or the filling of the Holy Spirit, it depends on the faithfulness of God. Roman numeral 7, not only are we trusting God for salvation, but all we are trusting him for his faithfulness in holding the world, the universe. Roman numeral 8, where we left off last week, God's faithfulness is vital to our prayer life. We looked at Psalm 143, 1 and 2, Isaiah 25, 1. Now we left off at point 9. God's faithfulness is seen in his protection. 1 Corinthians 1, 8, 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. We begin this morning at point 10. I've tried, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I try not to have a lot of points in our studies, but I can't help it in this one. Because of the way we're going about it, we're going to have a multitude of points. And point 10, in one of the most personable passages between God and his servant Moses, he reveals to Moses that he's a faithful God. Let's open the Word of God to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth or faithfulness. Truth or faithfulness. This is the same word and Hebrew word in Exodus 34:6 that we have translated compassion. Now, look at Psalm 86. Let's look at Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, 15, and you'll recall here, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. If you have the NASB with marginal notes, faithfulness. It's the same word, merciful, as we have at the beginning, is compassion. So we know where David drew from his own declaration of God in this wonderful prayer in Psalm 86. Now, before we leave Exodus 34, before we leave it, I want you to, where the Lord passed in front of Moses and declared his relationship, the essence that he chose to reveal to Moses in their relationship, let's read what Moses did with such information about God. First, let's reread Psalm 30, or Exodus 34, 6. And then we'll continue. Exodus 34, 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, so they're communicating with each other, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and faithfulness. Now, this is, combine this with Deuteronomy 7:9, this is essential to the being of God, as is his sovereignty. We talk about the sovereignty of God, his faithfulness is just as essential. This is an essence to his being God, the sovereign God. If he is not faithful, he is not God. In fact, he clothed himself with faithfulness. Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Now, by the way, we're building up a nice repertoire of verses for you on the faithfulness of God if you ever become depressed, under stress, under tribulation. And the faithfulness of God to give you strength, go through these verses. But here we have Psalm 89:8. 89:8. O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you like clothing. It surrounds him, encompasses all that he is. Now let's go back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Now let's go to verse 7. In Exodus 34, we're going to read about the relationship of Moses and the Lord in this passage. So, Exodus 34, now ready for verse 7. Verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness. Now verse 7. Who keeps his loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, and on the grandchildren, to the third and to the fourth generation. Now in verse 8, we have Moses is immediately compelled to worship the Lord. This just draws that worship out of him. So let's look at verse 8. Moses made haste to bow down low toward the earth and worship. So God has proclaimed himself to him. It has caused Moses to immediately go into worship. Now verse 9. In verse 9, he entreats the Lord based upon what the Lord has just pronounced about himself. So let's look at verse 9. He, Moses, said to the Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession. I don't know when you sin. A lot of preachers say, oh, go into confession immediately. Well, I like Moses. Appeals to the faithfulness of God. We're sinners. We have iniquity. We've rebelled against you. Go with us. You just said you're forgiving. You just said you're compassionate. You just said you're faithful. Go with us is my prayer. Now, verse 10, the Lord responds to Moses in declaring how his essence will respond to sinful Israel. Verse 10, then God said, behold, I am going to make a covenant before all your people. I will perform miracles which have not been performed in all the earth. That's just amazing. They're in sin, iniquity, rebellion. And what does God say? I'm going to perform miracles for you in the midst of the nations that have never been performed before. Continuing verse 10. Nor among any of the nations, and all the people among whom you live, these are Gentiles, will see the working of the Lord. For it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. So we have the declaration, the pray or the worship, and then the request, and then the Lord's response. So I hope that this is an outline of your own relationship with his faithfulness in your own life. Let's go to point 11. The socialist, communist, globalist, which takes into effect not the current president, but the last three presidents, definitely socialist, globalist, trying to control people by talking about global warming. I like it now with all the freezing that's going on in the north. They've changed it to global weather. They can't have that global warming anymore. I called Jody Brown, and they had to cancel class a couple of Sundays ago, and I said, well, see what global warming does? And so this is, they try to control people by talking about the climate changes. These people do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They do not believe in the God of the Bible. For if they did, they would realize that He is a faithful God, and His faithfulness is realized, lo and behold, in the weather. Let's look at Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remains. Now you gotta remember, there'll be time when there's gonna be a new heaven and a new earth. But while this earth remains, while or as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It's the faithfulness of God. This cold weather that they're experiencing up north will not last forever. It will soon be over and give way to summer. I like Dallas. I mean, it's going to be 70 degrees this week. 78 degrees, I think, Monday or Tuesday. I love that for February. That's a perfect February. I might go out and get a suntan. So, just too beautiful. But the point here is God's faithfulness. Don't let anybody bother you about global climate change. Your God is in control. They look like sometime He isn't, but He's in good control. All right, point 12. Then there is the powerful messianic passage, Psalm 31. Let's look at Psalm 31. A beautiful psalm. I can't wait for the pre-trib conference next year, this coming year in December, because it's going to be on messianic passages in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't believe in them. They do not believe Old Testament passages speaking of Jesus Christ. But you and I, of course, see Him in all of the Old Testament, right? Alright. Now, so let's take a look at Psalm 31. So we'll begin reading at verse 1. In You, O Lord, God the Father, I, Jesus Christ, have taken refuge, crucifixion. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me. This is interesting. Not in Your love, but in Your perfect righteousness. As He Himself comes in contact with all of the unrighteousness on the world, He cries out to God to deliver him according to God's perfect righteousness. Verse 2, incline Your ear to me, rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to deliver me. For You are my rock and my fortress. For Your name's sake, You will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net, that's the cross, which they have secretly laid for me, crucifixion. For You are my strength. Into Your hands I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. So here is Jesus Christ in a messianic psalm talking about the faithfulness of God. Why could He go to the cross and die on the cross? Because He knows the faithfulness of the Father. And that is His faith. Point 13. Then there is one of my favorite psalms in all the Bible. Psalm 111. It opened to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And people, I just hope that you, as we go through these things, I don't know why we're here. I'll be honest with you. We're actually in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter. The Holy Spirit has taken me unto the study on God. So apparently we need it. But I hope that in your prayer life, you have praise and thanksgiving and then your request, your cry, whatever it is. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. We saw in Galatians 3:15 and 16 that we are to continually give thanks. Please don't wait until you're old, as I did, to give thanks for even the smallest of things, the safety in driving. I drove like a terror and never thanked God that I got there safely. Now I'm super conscious, super slow, and I thank Him every day that I got there and back. Don't wait till you're old to do that. Give thanks throughout your life. Verse 2. Great are the works of the Lord, beginning with creation, then salvation, and His continual blessings in time. They are studied by all who delight in them. People, if you love the Lord, you'll love the Word of God. If you love the Word of God, you'll delight in the study of the Word of God. I'm still baffled by many in this assembly who are not here. I don't understand that. I just do not. But it's not for me to understand. If you love the Word of God, if you love the Lord, you love His Word, you love the study of it, you just delight in it. This is my joy, studying the Word of God. A couple of Sundays ago, Judith and I went to a Jewish meeting in Dallas, and what they talked about was the heritage of the rabbis and young rabbis and all that, and how they just, their whole life, studying the Torah, just studying it, arguing over it, back and forth, over and over, throughout their life. They didn't worry about having any possessions in the world. It was the study of the Word of God, the Torah. And they weren't even believers. Not even believers. But they loved studying the Torah. But not of Jesus Christ. But not of Jesus Christ. Not of the Messiah. So, verse 2, great are thy works, are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. I hope you delight in the study of the Word of God. Verse 3, splendid and majestic is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. Note how righteousness keeps coming up in the study of the faithfulness of God. He's faithful to His righteousness. There are some of the things you learn in the study of the Word of God. His work parallels His righteousness. Verse 4, He has made His wonders to be remembered. Unfortunately, not many people know them to even remember them. We add to the work of Christ on the cross. We murder babies. We try to speak of evolution rather than creation. But the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Two of the relational attributes of God in Psalm 86:15, and in our study on Exodus and Exodus 34. Verse 5. He has given food to those who fear, live in awe of Him. He will remember His covenant forever. Abrahamic covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will remember it. Why is there no replacement theology? Faithfulness of God. He will remember His covenant. And one day it's almost like, oh yeah, and I've got to get that church out of there. So like the Aggies leaving the football field after they play their band, just get off the field. Get out of the way. Please remember, we call it tribulation. But I wish I could come up with a better word, because they're the last 7 years promised to Israel. That they involve tribulation is one thing. But what are those 7 years about? They're not about the church. People who believe in mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, believe the church will be a major player in the tribulation. We're not here. It's not about us. It's about God's faithfulness to Israel. He promised 490 years. 483 have been fulfilled. 7 years remain. God will be faithful to Israel. And He will give them 7 more years. Not to the church. We're not here. We're not important in that 7 years. It's Israel. And what happens? What's happening to Israel, to Jerusalem, to His people, to whom He will come home and redeem. Come back to earth. So, He is going to remember His covenant forever. He hasn't forgotten it. Verse 6. He has made known to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations and the promised land fulfilled at the millennium. Verse 7. The works of His hands are true, faithful, and justice. All His precepts are sure, faithful, or trustworthy. You can depend on them. Verse 8. They are upheld forever and ever. That's His faithfulness. That's His faithfulness. Doesn't ever forget them. And they will be upheld. They are performed in faithfulness and uprightness according to His righteousness. Verse 9. He has sent redemption to His people. That's the Messiah. He has ordained His covenant forever. No replacement theology. Holy and awesome is His name. Give praise for His name. His name is faithful and faithfulness. And of course, verse 10, one of the great verses of the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having the maximum respect for the Lord. And in a way, a fear of not being faithful to Him. Remember when we started this last week, we talked about, are you faithful to who and what you are? Not are you faithful to the Lord, are you faithful to who and what you are? If you're faithful to who and what you are in Christ, you will be faithful to Him. You gotta be faithful to Him. He is faithful. Are you faithful? So verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His. Now you see in commandments is in italics. It shouldn't be there. It should read, who do His wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His wisdom. See? Live by faith, as He has told us to live. Not by commandments, by faith. His praise endures forever, I hope, in your life. I hope you praise Him every day. You praise Him. I don't want it to become ritualistic, but every morning, I thank God. I thank God for a safe night for my wife and I to sleep. I thank Him for my health. I praise Him for the God He is. And then I request guidance in my study that day. So, and wisdom. So, His praise endures forever. Here's a clue to your prayers. He starts out with praise and ends with praise. Last verse, first verse. First verse, praise. Verse 10, praise. His praise endures forever. If we have that relationship with Him. People, okay. If you love your wife, your husband, you want to continually tell them, I love you. If you have a relationship with the Lord, you want to continually praise Him. Thank Him every day for His faithfulness, for His compassion, for His forgiveness. Different essences that will appeal to you that day. The more we know about Him, the more dynamic your prayer life should be. It isn't just, oh God, help me. It's, you're compassionate. You're merciful. You're long-suffering. I've sinned. I failed. I call upon your compassion. See? So, we have this beautiful relationship with Him in prayer. God is not man. He's faithful. Look at Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. I love the simplicity of this verse. You start off and you go, well, of course not. But you think about what the writer is saying. It's beautiful. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Not like man. See? He never lies. He never forgets. He never fails. He never falters. He never forfeits his word. I have so much trouble with Calvinists in their view of God. I have so much trouble with people who preach a gospel of works. I have so much trouble with people that believe in replacement theology. And my problem is the same with all of them. Their view of God. Start with your view of God. See? Replacement theology. What are you saying about God? Well, what we're saying is that if you sin, God reacts. That's your God? He's going to take away your salvation? He's going to undo His covenants? All these things? Think about what you're saying about God. This verse is so simple. It is so profound. He's not a man that he should lie. Not a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do it? Has he spoken and will not make it good? No replacement theology. No loss of salvation. People, you're safe with Him. No matter how you may sin or fail. I hope you don't. I pray you don't. But if you do, He doesn't change. He's the same. I want you to be more impressed with God's faithfulness than with your unfaithfulness. Be more impressed with God's faithfulness than with man's unfaithfulness. He is not like a man. He is not unfaithful. He is faithful. That's why these essence, He is compassionate, long-suffering, slow to anger, forgiving, all these things we're studying. This is who He is. Okay, we come to point 14. And again, I apologize for the great number of points here, but the study just begs it. Point 14. Under point 14, we're going to look at five characteristics of our flesh nature, our carnal nature, our old man. One, it's continually being corrupted. Two, deceitful above all else. Three, incurably sick. Four, full of evil. And of course, the one I love. Five, insane. Sometime we're watching ID, and they'll say stuff like, I just don't understand how a human could do this to another human, or this person just doesn't have a soul, and these kind of things. And I just smile. They don't know the nature of man. They don't know how desperately wicked every one of us are in our nature. Now, having those five things, continually being corrupted, so your sin nature is worse now than it was when you were born. Poor mine must be really bad. It says 77 years, but not as bad as Jim Langston's. He's been here a lot longer. So, and full of evil. Insane. See? Incurably sick. Now, To combat this nature, God has done the following. One, He crucified our old nature. Two, then He raised us up a new creature in Christ. Remember Colossians 2? We've died with Christ. Colossians 3, been raised up with Christ. Three, then He supplied us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, power over sin. First of all, power over the penalty of sin, and now power over the power of sin. And then four, He has given us promise from His faithfulness. He's given us promise from His faithfulness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. There you have it in your daily life. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to resist. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Okay, God is faithful. First of all, He's not going to have any temptation that's not uncommon to man. And He's provided everything we need to overcome it. Now, I'm sorry, but I won't speak for anybody in this room. But often, I've given in to it. The temptation was just too appealing. See? But I could have resisted. Now, we talk about the times I did resist, but let's talk about the time I didn't. He's faithful. He's given us the power to resist. See? Given us that power to resist the temptation in His Savior, in His Spirit. Okay, that brings us to point 15. In regard to suffering, we're all going to suffer. Welcome to life, newborn baby. Welcome to life. Get ready. You're going to suffer. See, you're crying. You're already starting to suffer. See? All right. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. One of the most interesting things, every morning I like to go in and I go through one of the websites, Christian History. And inevitably, there have been some people that have been martyred because of their faith, and they refuse to relent of their faith. And since 700, Muslims have often martyred Christians. This week, big time in Constantine, which is now Istanbul in Turkey, but they have in their history martyred many people who refused to give up their belief in Christ, and they were martyred. And but they're not the only ones. The communists have martyred a multitude of people who refuse to give up their faith. And it's just interesting to read. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to me to just see these people have been beaten. These people have been martyred, some of them unmercifully. I don't know how they endured it until they died. But they did. And so we suffer. So verse 19, let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right, not relenting on your faith. Now, two broad categories of suffering. Suffering due to sin, divine discipline, and suffering due to the design plan of God. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, 29. Philippians chapter 1, Verse 29. For to you it has been granted as a privilege for Christ's benefit, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, for His benefit. And I like the way it's worded. It has been granted. It's a privilege. And some of these martyrs say that in their dying words. See? I'm glad. And I regret I have only this life to give up for Christ. That kind of statements given at people's crucifixion or their own death. See? It's been granted. Now, let me just say, I don't think this verse is a good verse for witnessing to an unbeliever. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't point this out, they're believing in Jesus Christ, and you get to suffer for Him. Talk about being in eternity with Him, and that kind of thing. Let this happen later. Let this come upon them later, say, but not right at the very beginning. Okay. Both categories of suffering are designed by God. God does not punish a believer for sin. Punishment always looks back. Discipline always looks forward. It's like a parent. A parent should discipline to bring about a desirable change in the child in the future. The child rides the bike in the street. You don't want to punish him. You want to discipline him that he can think about it. Take away his bike for a week. Think every day. Now, I can't ride my bike because I rode it in the street. I get my bike back, I don't ride it in the street. Ah, that's it. I don't ride it in the street anymore. See? That's what discipline is designed to do. And that's the way that God works about it. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4:19 again. 1 Peter 4:19, again, we just saw it, but it's sometimes we got to do this. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God, divine discipline, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. We trust Him. Okay, I don't like this discipline. And if you do, something's wrong with you. See? But it's according to your wisdom. It's according to your faithfulness. Okay? Next, God is faithful in divine discipline. God is faithful in His giving us divine discipline. Psalm 119. Let's open your Bibles to Psalm 119 and look at verse 75. Verse 75. By the way, take all the verses that we're dealing with on the faithfulness of God, and we are just scratching the surface of the number of verses where the faithfulness of God is talked about. But verse 75 of Psalm 119, I know, people, you've got to know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In faithfulness you have afflicted me. I pity the child who is disciplined by his parents. When we are disciplined, we know that we are loved. Non-disciplined. When a child is not disciplined by the parents, I pity that child. That you're rearing them for trouble. When we're disciplined, even a child knows, I didn't deserve this. And mom and dad love me. And that's why this is happening. So, they care about me. They care. Now, right now, my backside doesn't like the way they care, but they care. And they love me. People, so it is with God. When He disciplines us, we know that He cares about us. He loves us and desires us to walk according to His ways. So, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. your faithfulness to your own essence, your faithfulness and your love to me. And that's why you're disciplining me. See? Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verses 32 and 33. Psalm 89, 32. Then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Disciplined, not punish. But I will not break off my love from them, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. So he's going to discipline. But people, he doesn't break off his love. It may look like it. And the severity of his discipline may look like it. But he hasn't. He is faithful. And he still has loving kindness, compassion for you. And a plan. So whether you're suffering due to sin, or due to design for the glory of Christ, as a martyr, as it were, you can trust God. In faithfulness, God has allowed this suffering, brought on this suffering. It is according to His faithfulness, His love. It's part of His plan of history for you. Know that you are in the plan of God, in history. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I think every one of you know that great verse and hymn. I know whom I have believeth and am persuaded. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it's one of those passages on the faithfulness of God that we should remember in difficult times of tribulation. And again, I'll remind you, you don't need to turn there. 1 Peter 4:19, could have put it on the board for you. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, those who also suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Alright, point 16. Look at the faithfulness of God in just living. Just living our lives. Day in and day out. Getting up in the morning. Going to work. All the things that we have to do during the day of our lives. So many things happen day in and day out of our lives. One of the ID movie things we were watching, in 7.5 minutes, this whole family's life changed. And throughout, that was sort of the momentum of the episode. In 7.5 minutes, that can be less than that, we all know that. But this particular episode, 7.5 minutes, it took for their daughter to die. But the doctors, that's what the coroner estimated. In 7.5 minutes, a lot can happen in our lives. So many things can happen in our lives in a day. That old song, What a Difference a Day Makes. And things that cause us to wonder. Why? What is God doing? Here's another time we have to turn to His faithfulness and just trust His faithfulness. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4. Deuteronomy 32:4. The rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness. And without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. So here we have the faithfulness of God along with our daily life. With things that may happen in our daily life. Let's look at Lamentations 3. You can find Jeremiah, you can find Lamentations. The lamenting of Jeremiah at the end of Jeremiah in the next book is Lamentation. Look at chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 19 of Lamentations 3. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope in the midst of suffering. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. He's faithful. For His compassion never fails. We've been studying the loving kindness of God. What about it? It never ceases. His compassion never fails. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope, confidence in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. In our New Year's special, I want to remind you, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for His work. Verse 25 continued, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that he waits silently for the deliverance of the Lord. So we have just this relationship with Him in our daily lives and the suffering. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I should put all these verses into my book, or just turn around and read what Kip puts up for you. But anyway, I'll find it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with you, with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. It's the faithfulness of God. Psalm 33. Look at Psalm 33. Verses 4 and 5. Psalm 33, 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. Faithfulness to His essence. He cannot be unfair. He cannot be unjust. He is faithful to Himself. Verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. Please always remember that. People are so convinced everybody's going to be in heaven. Jeffries just got the whole world against him now, because he talked about how heaven has walls, and only those who believe in Christ get to enter. See? And boy, the nation, the media went crazy. Talked about that. But it does. Heaven has walls, and only the righteous get in. And no matter how simple you may be, you're righteous if you believe in Christ. You enter heaven. You enter the walls. See? That old joke that's all, Peter at the gate. Well, what's along those gates? Walls. See? He's protecting. Who goes in? Who doesn't go in? All those jokes. See? All the tests that Peter gives. See? Heaven has walls. Why? Verse 5, He is righteous and just. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host, all the things that are in the earth. This is why we give thanks for His faithfulness. Every aspect of our lives depends on the faithfulness of the Lord. That brings us to point 17. And with this one, we're going to stop. And I have no problem with that. Studying the faithfulness of God is going to take 3 Sundays, but that's all right. To me, this is one of the most important studies we'll do on the essence of God. We can talk about the sovereignty of God. We can talk about the omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence of God. But people, we relate to His faithfulness every day of our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. We praise You, Father. We praise You for the God You are. And we're so thankful that You're faithful to Your essence. You're faithful to who and what You are. And if, Heavenly Father, as long as we are in who and what You are, we will be benefactors of that faithfulness. We praise You, Father. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning, the faithfulness of God in our lives, in Your service. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.